Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. It's the Rose, Rose Colombo, right here for you at Colombo Chronicles Live. And yes, today is Wednesday, hump day. You're right over heading towards the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. I hope you have some plans because the country is beginning to open up, at least in some states. Thank God for opening up the country. And it's March 17th. I want to wish everyone a happy St. Patrick's Day and luck of the Irish on everyone in the United States of America and the world. We sure could use it, right? There are so many natural disasters happening around the world. There's earthquakes, tsunamis, hurricanes, and many, many volcanoes around the planet just erupting like crazy, and lava rock flying, especially at Mount Etna over in Italy, covering the ground with lava rock. And then the flooding is just out of control in so many different countries. We need to pray for our nation and for our world that people will return back to God and that they will at least turn back to some morals, principles, values, and back to normal. Because what is happening around the world is the reaction of God and Mother Earth not happy with mankind. Guaranteed. So on that note, let me tell you, we have a very exciting guest today. And she was born in China. And she is a Chinese Christian girl. And so she wrote a novel, and it's entitled Crush Under the Starry Night. What a beautiful title. And it's by Sui Lin Yan. And she's the first Chinese Christian. This is the first Chinese Christian novel. So that's exciting. And this is a romantic story. It happens and takes place in Tibet and Shanghai. And it will deeply touch your heart. And she's going to tell us about her story and about a little bit about her life and how she came to writing this novel, which will be very exciting, too. We're going to talk about the world of politics and touch on the legal immigration versus illegal immigration into the United States of America. My question to the senators that no one is asking is, why are we inundated with illegals by the millions coming towards our border once again in 2021 after Joe Biden was elected, when we almost had it under control under the Trump administration, where people in America felt safe who were living along the borders? That is no longer happening. And instead of building the wall along the borders, as Trump was doing, to protect the American people, especially the children, because there's so much human trafficking today, and young females who they traffic, and also trafficking people, anybody, I guess, who's healthy for organ harvesting. So these are very, very serious issues when you are not vetting people properly. You have no idea who they are because they don't have identifications or they're fake identifications. You have no clue if they're actual refugees. You have no clue if the children by the thousands are being trafficked to the borders so that the parents can get into the USA as well. Or the coyotes and traffickers who claim to be the parents. So it is a mess again. And that's unfortunate for these children in America and the illegal children on the borders because they could end up missing. And no one's going to find them and no one's going to know who they are or be able to identify them. Many of them are little children. So it's a really serious problem. And in a minute, I'm going to tell you a little more about our guest and her book, and we'll get in, enter into the world of authors and experts on part one. So don't touch that dial because we'll be back in just a moment.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car... Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Columbo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics, from politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Columbo's home on the Columbo Chronicles Live to your home, Columbo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. This is The Rose. Listen up because today we have a wonderful guest, and her name is Sui Lin Gang. That's S-U-I, then L-I-N, and G-A-N. Sui Lin Gang. And she was born in Shanghai, China. That's exciting because we have so much going on between the United States of America and China right now. She came to America in 2018. Until now, she has finished 6 books, 2 movie scripts, 30 original songs, hundreds of paintings, and registered 7 trademarks both in China and in America. She just finished her master's degree in music. She did her graduate recital last year in Hollywood. She said she came to America because she heard of God's audible voice. She says God wants her to use art and love to heal this world and the relationship between China and America. So let's just get started and let's say hello to our very special guest, Sui Lin. Hi, Sui. How are you today?
Hi, Rose. Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. And thank you for calling me my Chinese name, Sui Ling. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Oh, you're so welcome. And I was hoping I pronounced it correctly. And
yes,
it's a beautiful
name. Very
perfect
pronunciation. Yeah, thank you.
And I like the name of your book, Crush Under the Starry Night. Since you came from China, why don't you tell us why you left China to come to America?
I'm very happy to share my story because, to be honest, before 2018, I really didn't know that I would come here. I had no idea. I thought I probably would stay there forever because I was a writer and painter before I became a Christian. And I was trying to make my three books. At that time, I just finished three books. I was trying to make them into movie, to make a wonderful Chinese movie. And in 2018, in summertime, suddenly some Christian people, they appeared around me. They brought me into church. And then I was touched by the Holy Spirit. And then I started to cry. And then one night, I heard God's audible voice. He spoke to me in perfect Chinese. And because I just started to read Bible, I had no idea, well, God can talk. He's so real. And then 2 months later, he sent me to America. Just everything is so miraculously. And at first, I thought I would stay here for 4 months because there was a Chinese guy. He said he has been working in the Hollywood industry for over 30 years. He said he opened a movie school because I said I want to make my novels to become movies. So he said he wanted to help me. But actually, in the end, I found, well, that's not real. You know, many people, they deceive that each other, you know, because they want money. So I just came here like the Joseph in the Bible. You know, Joseph went to Egypt. He had no idea what would happen in Egypt. And then I came here, and then God opened a big door. He let me study in a Christian university. And then I started to learn music. So I'm starting learning music, and I've done painting for many years already. And I'm also doing writing. So basically, you can say I'm doing everything about art. And it's really hard, and I spend lots of time, but I feel so blessed. And then I got more words from God because I started to hear more of his voice. I heard Heavenly Father's voice, Holy Spirit's voice, and Yeshua, our Savior, his voice. They're totally different. And also I heard Yeshua, Jesus, you know, he talked to me in both Chinese and English, and I started to have lots of prophetic dreams, visions, and about future. Just it's so amazing. And now I finished my master's degree, and God moved me to live in Hollywood because he promised me this book, Crush Under the Starry Night, it will become a Christian movie. It will influence lots of people. And because he's so faithful, so I'm obedient to him, doing whatever he wants me to do.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah. So do you work at anything else, or is this your entire jobs right now? Is this all you're doing right now? Is that all you're doing?
Yeah,
I mean, you're doing a lot, but I mean, as far as did you come to America to find a job as well, or just to study, and write your books and your art, and then make a movie?
I came here to finish my master's degree, and I haven't really like working in a certain company right now. Because I know he wants me to focus on everything I'm doing, and he doesn't want me to worry about money. So God is really good. My parents, they're supporting me, like sending money to me and let me finish everything I'm doing. And actually, my mom, she became a Christian soon after I became a Christian. So I can say my mom, she understands what I'm doing here. And because... you know, if I really focus too much about money, about other things, I can't focus my entire soul into art. So I just know just really don't want to worry because God told us not to worry.
That he did. And it's, well, I was asking that question because you are into all these different artistic abilities that you're being able to carry on with. And so I was curious if you had that family support to help you. So that's wonderful because a lot of people do not, who are artists and creative like you. So that is really wonderful that your family is supportive of you, especially because you come from China where Christians are persecuted in China, right?
Yeah, that's true. Even if we can see lots of videos about what is really going on, but at least I really heard pastors, they went to jail. That's true. And lots of churches, they are underground church because, first the government, they don't really understand Jesus, our God. And the second thing is because of the virus, the COVID-19, and all the public church, they are closed. So people, if they want to gather to worship God together, they have to go to underground church. And actually, I'm very happy because last year I heard my Christian friends in China, they told me the number of the Christian people in China is really increasing a lot. It's
yes,
before
and
I came here, yeah.
That's very
sorry,
important
came,
to know.
Yeah. Yeah, before I came to America in 2018, the number was already one-tenth of the whole population, and we have 1.5 billion people. That's a lot. And last year, I believe the number is very close to one-third. Just it's really increasing very rapidly. And I know lots of Christian people in China, they actually want to come to America, to study in a theology school, to study more Bible, to learn how to serve God. But because of what's going on, between the two countries, it's hard for them to come here right now.
Exactly. It's hard for anybody to go anywhere right now. It's a big mouth right now.
You're right.
So I'm counting on God to straighten it out. Because it doesn't seem like men and women are doing a very good job about it. So what was your first impression of America when you got here?
Oh, you know what? It's so interesting because before I came to America, I watched lots of American shows, the Hollywood movie, and I thought America was like this. And then when I came here, especially I'm living in California, there are not many tall buildings here, and nothing can block my eyes. I can see the sky very clearly. So I feel like it's a place for having vacation. And the sunshine is like all the time, And it's very different from Shanghai, where I come from. Because Shanghai is more like Washington, D.C., New York. It has lots of tall buildings, and everything is working really fast there. But in America, things are kind of slow, so I'm learning how to be patient, and I really love this country, and I mean I have got some really good American friends, and they support me, they love me, they pray for me. And also actually my mom used to work in an American company in China before she retired, so I actually got lots of blessing from America already before I came here. And now I feel like I'm more like American. I'm eating like American. I'm talking like American, behaving like American. So I'm very happy staying here.
Well,
I feel very
expect
blessed.
Expect to gain some weight then. You're eating like an American.
I actually want to gain some weight because people
well,
always say I'm
to be.
Too skinny. I don't want to hear that.
So which foods do you like better? Do you like Chinese or do you like American food better? Which or you just like both? Because I love Chinese food.
Oh, thank you. I hope you have tried the real Chinese food.
Probably
because
not.
Because the Chinese food here, they're not authentic, It's different from the Chinese food in China. So actually, after I came here, I started to do cooking by myself because I've never done cooking before, and not because I miss my mom's cooking, my dad's cooking. So I'm asking them how to do it, and then I'm trying to do it here. And I also like American food because I have tried lots of Western food when I was in China. And actually, I like different kinds of food. I like exploring different tastes. So I feel very happy here because I can eat all kinds of food, and also you know, Mexican food, you know, other kinds of foods. So it's very interesting.
I know, because we're the big melting pot, and we can just about go anywhere, you know, like. They have Chinatown downtown LA, and when I was a kid, we would go there on a Sunday and have, you know, and go through the little shops, and I'd buy I always wanted the little Buddha because I just thought he was so cute and funny, and I always rubbed his belly when I passed him, so I do have a little Buddha because I still think he's cute and funny, so he makes me laugh, when I look at him, it's just so cute. And so a good memory for us. And we would, you know, have lunch there after church on Sundays.
Yeah.
So that was a fun thing to do in the past, you know. And so what made you decide to rewrite your book, Crush Under the Starry Night? And when did you first write it? And what caused you to rewrite the book?
I'm happy to share this story because usually authors, they don't rewrite their books. When they finish it, that's it. And I used to have the same thought too. I finished the first version in 2016 because I went to Tibet to travel for a whole month in 2013. And Tibet is actually the most beautiful place on earth, I think.
Really?
Because it has very few people, you know, this snowy mountain everywhere. And it's like paradise. It's so beautiful. And I actually have painted lots of paintings about Tibet after I came here. And actually, I finished my first novel before I went to Tibet. And then a few years later, I thought I should write another one just, you know, to pursuing my dream because I didn't know I would be a writer because I knew writing was boring, you know, because my major of my bachelor degree is journalism. I used to write lots of articles, lots of things. So I didn't really want to be a writer, but somehow I just got this clear idea I should do it. So I started to write it. And then when I finished that story, I really loved this story. And then I tried to know some people in China and make them into movies. And I met a director. And he loved this story so much. And he wanted to make it into a movie. But somehow it didn't work out because God prepared me coming to America. So after I came here, after I read more Bible, I mean, the Holy Spirit, you know, she taught me lots of wisdom. And then I started to understand, I should make this novel to become a Christian novel. And rewriting the whole novel is a very hard task. And during at the end of 2018, I had a like 2 month winter vacation before I went to the university to start my master's degree. So I had lots of time staying at home. So I started to rewrite it because every time when I want to do something, for example, like writing a music, doing painting, writing a book, I just really focus on it and stay at home. I don't go outside because I don't want to be distracted. So I stayed at home for 2 months and finished the whole story, and it became so much longer than before. And then in the summertime in 2019, I feel God wanted me to translate my own novel. It's really hard because first, English is not my first language. I learned English basically in China. And I didn't know, you know, if I really could do it really good. But my mom, she encouraged me, and I know it's God's will. So I spent over 3 months again, staying at home, translating all my books. I know I may have some mistakes, but I'm really trying my best, and nobody really edited the book. So I finished all the translation, and God really sent publisher to me, and he published the book in America before Christmas in 2019. And actually, it's very supernatural, because that day I received a link from the publisher. That morning, I actually saw Jesus. I saw his face. I heard his voice. I had a very vivid vision in my dream. Actually, I was awake, but I had to close my eyes, and he let me see something. I was in my bed, and I know this is totally from God, and I have more confidence after that.
Well, that's wonderful, because you know what? Some people will say, oh, she's just dreaming, she's delirious, maybe she was, on medication, whatever people want to say, because there's always those people out there. But since time began, people have had visions, and many have recorded it, like in the Bible and other books, and more people have come out with their, I had a near-death experience, so many more people have come out with their life after death and near-death experiences, and so they're actually real, because nobody gains anything by telling these true stories. And so I believe that God guides us and has a purpose for our lives, but if people don't want to listen, then that's a different story. Then they just reject it. But look at you, listened, and you got your books written and your art, and you came to America, and you're on a mission. So, yeah, I believe it. And so do you think both China and America, will take away from this book? And what do you think that the Chinese will think about the book versus the American people? Because it has to be two different thought processes there.
Yeah. I know many Chinese people are praying for Chinese Christian books, Chinese Christian movies. I remember before I came here, I was in a public church, and that day the host, he asked somebody, you know, anybody who wants to talk in public, and then I stood up and I talked about my dream. I want to finish a Christian movie, and I'm going to America. And I remember when I was talking about this, facing a whole bunch of people, the public, I saw these people, they're very happy. I see the hope, the desire, you know, they have in their heart, because in China we never had any Christian movie in history. Even you may see one or two, but it's never released in cinema, and we never really had Christian concerts, Christian books. Even like children ministry in China, in public church, the record is almost zero. But look at America. America is so blessed. It's a Christian country, and the church is everywhere, and people can talk about God. We have so many Christian TV shows, radio shows, and people, you know, they're just very excited. They're so blessed. And, that's why I know this is my purpose. I have to do it because somebody has to do it, you know. And people living there, I don't come to America. I would never have this chance talking with you right now. And because God knows that I have this heart. He knows my purpose, what I should do. That's why soon after I became a Christian, he sent me to America. Just everything happened so, I'm sorry, a little emotional. So everything just happened so quickly. And I think for American society, people also, they want to, you know, see, how would I say, people want to see the love between the two countries. We don't want to see people, you know, hate each other, because we really need to, restore the relationship. It's very important, because because the two countries, America and China, are the biggest country in this world. If we fight, there will be no peace. And this is not something God wants, you know. So we have to be friends again. I mean, we have to get married again, you know, to be family members. And I want this movie to be finished together with American people and Chinese people to bless the whole world, you know, to bless lots of souls in this world. Because I know people are badly hurt. It's not just American. You know, we are hurt right now because my parents, my other friends in China, when they saw the news about America, they told me they have strong compassion for American people. Lots of Chinese people, they're praying for America. They have seen what's happening here, and they want people to have peaceful life, you know. And also, you know, people in China, it's not easy for them too, you know, during the COVID-19, everything. And I don't want it, because of the government, they're fighting, and people start to hate each other. No, I don't want to see that. And also, you know, we have some issue happening here about Asian being attacked, and that's not something we want to see too, because I feel like, at least I feel I'm very blessed in America. I see people, they love me. Even sometimes I may have experienced some unfair things here, but I still love America. I still see lots of love between China and America.
Well, I think what you're saying, you know, is that, you know, we need to put more love back into the universe, and we need to spread more love among each people. We need to have more random acts of kindness. We need to rip off the mask, in my opinion, because we need fresh oxygen to keep our brains, our lungs, and our immune system and our healthy cells healthy. They need the oxygen. We need to release the carbon monoxide, which we're not able to do with the mask, which are a control mechanism to keep the sheeple in line. So, in my opinion. And so I think that, I mean, anybody with a brain who goes outside, and especially in California, and breathes in that fresh air, especially if you're near the ocean, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, you are automatically feel healthier, and your brain feels healthier, and your body.
Yeah.
And so I'm a person who believes that God gave us a nose and a mouth to breathe in fresh air and release carbon monoxide so we can remain healthy and see our smiles and see our expressions on our faces. And so I think without being able to see everybody's faces, it's very depressing. And so when we smile and we laugh and we say hello and can I help you, can I open your door, we've forgotten all these values in America too. So this is the result of what's happening, is the lack of love.
Yeah.
And so I love your book, Crush Under
Thank
the
you.
Starry Night, because it's about love. And we need to remember that we're here to love everyone, not just some people, but everyone. Because even if we disagree with them, we should be able to have a disagreement, you know, without fighting, like you said, you know, without hating each other, without fighting each other. We need to be able to come back to the table and say, oh, I understand what you're saying. You know, let me share what I'm saying. And maybe people will open up their minds and still end up friends, like China and America could also do. And I think a book like Crush Under the Starry Night could help bring that that imagination that people have into their minds and into their lives and open up new doors. So how do you think that your book will influence the relationship between China and America, should it make it in, and when it makes it into a movie?
I really hope it will be finished this year, because this is what I saw in my vision. And I believe the virus will be gone. Like you said, I personally don't like wearing masks too, because I need fresh air. But sometimes, you know, we have to do it, because this is what the government asks us to do. And
doesn't ask us, they order us to do in America. That's like become tyrannical. You know, we're a free country. I mean, if I'm healthy, which thank God, knock on wood, I am, and I, you know, am healthy and I take care of myself by taking, you know, eating the right foods that have, you know, antioxidants and keep your body healthy and take supplements that the doctors recommend to keep viruses away. Because we have 22 trillion viruses in our bodies, Sue. So if we have 22 trillion viruses, we're never getting rid of viruses. And if 22 trillion viruses doesn't kill us because we're eating healthy and doing the right things and love is part of that and not being angry and bitter because that causes stress and that's a killer. So I think it all goes together, and I just want to rip those masks off and just be normal and smile at people again and say hello and be so people can be happy again, you know? And when you're happy, you are healthier. And so this, you know, so your book will bring more of that vision into the world, I think. And so what do you think about the virus in China versus the virus in America? Do you see the same situation, or is it more stringent in China, or is it more stringent in America as far as being locked down in our homes like prisoners? We've never been locked down in our homes before. This is unprecedented in America. Only criminals are locked down in America in the past.
Yeah, it's also the first time for me too. Yeah, and I think last year in China, it was very, very serious. I think it was more serious than America at the beginning of the virus, because I saw lots of videos. They really used the chain, you know, to lock people inside, and people they even starved at home because they had no food. But this year, I think it's getting better. At least what I know from Shanghai, it's not that much serious this year. But I don't know about other cities. And another thing is, you know, the internet in China is totally different from the internet in America. I mean, the Chinese government, they have blocked many, many internet. And now they're blocking BBC too, you know, and Facebook, Instagram, everything. So it's hard for Chinese people to know what's going on outside of China. And it's also hard for them to post the reality, because we have to use a certain software, paying lots of money, and then we can post something on YouTube, you know, or on Facebook. So, and another thing is the misunderstanding, lots of things, the troubles, you know, happening between China and America, and lots of, Chinese people, they come back to China because the government said, hey, the whole world, they're not welcoming us, so you have to come back. So now they're coming back, and there are less and less people really communicating with China and America. And I know China is a very, very amazing country. I grew up there. I feel so blessed. I love the country. I love the food. I love the friendly, innocent people there. And, you know, because the language system, everything is so different from America, from other countries. So it's hard, you know, for people to really understand each other. And because we also have a long history, over 5,000 years, so the culture, everything is completely different. So I really hope, we will have more people, to be the bridge between the two countries.
Yeah, and I think it's beautiful. You know, I don't like cancel culture. I like to keep America American. I like it to keep a melting pot, but legal immigration, legal citizenship, you know, so we know who everybody is and who's our neighbors and who's teaching our kids and blah, 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 you know, everyone should come here legally. And so just like in other countries, you can't just walk over anybody's borders, you know, you're either going to get shot or thrown into a jail. And so I don't know why we're now just letting everybody and anybody in without legal immigration. and it risks the lives of so many women and children in America, and the illegals coming in too. So I believe in loving everybody's culture, everybody's foods, everybody's way of life. When I travel, I like to see what the real people are doing, talk to the real people who live there and see how they're living and eat their real foods where they eat, you know, like not the tourist areas and all that. Because to me, you know, that's when you really get an education and you get to know the people and, you know, and their real foods and things like that. Like you said, you know, you probably haven't eaten real Chinese food. Probably not in America. And so I think that's really important. I'm so glad you explained that to me, too. I wasn't aware of all that information. So what is your goal? What is your real goal then in the end when the book gets out, the movie gets out, that you visualize for that will help America and China come together and be friends?
Yeah, my final goal is I really want to use this book to save lots of souls and let them know Yeshua, our God. And I also want to change Hollywood. This is something I want to do this year because now I'm living here. I have explored in Hollywood, and our church is in Hollywood. Our church is Christ Embassy Hollywood. And our calling is to change this place because I think Hollywood should be named to Holy World. Because, you know, there are so many movies, so many things. They're not worshiping God. They're worshiping idol, and they don't spread the true value, the truth to the world. And they may mislead people to hell, you know. That's possible. But God created everyone in His image, and we should go to heaven. This is our home. And also, I believe, you know, China always wants to make a wonderful movie to impress the whole world because, the industry in China, the entertainment industry, it is developing. It is becoming more and more mature, but it's not something what I want to see right now. I think it should be changed. Lots of corruption, lots of things that are not healthy. And I think art is created by God to spread His love, pureness. So I really hope, you know, art can change the world. It can bring healing and lift people
absolutely
to feel the
books,
beauty.
Books and movies and art and that are positive and or are funny or, you know, and or they have a human interest story in them are the real things most people are looking for. The minority of people are looking for the X-rated, high violence, excessive sex, you know,
yes.
You know, and all glorifying drugs and all these and guns and violence and all that. I think where in the past Hollywood actually the heroes were the good guys and the bad guys, everybody was happy because when the bad guys got finally captured, that was the meaning taken away that, you know, if you're going to do bad things, this is what's going to happen to you. And then, of course, there were the love stories. Everybody loves love stories. And, you know, but they were more intriguing and mysterious because you'd see the couple maybe walking into the bedroom, but you didn't have to watch them going bing, bang, bang. And so it was a different era, but those movies are, you can still buy those movies. Young people buy them. Young people watch those movies, those classic movies, because they had a human interest story or they were really funny, you know, or they didn't use a lot of foul language and all this. And I think that's, you know, I think it's really good that you're a young person that wants to bring hope and happiness and love and and laughter and joy back into the world, basically, because America is a leader in all of these different areas. So what is your impression over the last 2 years that lead you to believe that you would want to stay in America, or would you rather go back to China and live, or would you rather just stay in America?
I told my parents many, many, many times, I don't want to go back right now, at least right now, because I really feel America is the right place for me to achieve my goals. Because in China, I've been living there for over 30 years, and it's not a healthy place for me to do my art. And especially when people, they value an artist, they don't really see their talents. They want to see, how will I say, how much is the painting? And is she going to die? Is she really old? And then maybe they will buy the painting, because they will use money to value people. And being a young artist in China, it's really not easy, especially when you really don't have like lots of background and lots of money to support you. Or, for example, you're with a big boss, you know, do something not healthy, you know, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
it's something I don't want to do. Yeah, and in America, I feel it's a more fair place. At least people, they really see my talent. They respect me, and they are supporting me. I mean, the spiritual support, you know, this is very, very important. And I feel being respected here. And also talking about this book, you know, you're talking about the love stories. One thing I really love this story because I was not Christian before. I have done many mistakes in my life, and then God changed my whole life. I'm a new creation. And the people in my novel, they are the same people. They were not Christian before. They've done lots of mistakes. Even the girl in the novel, she got pregnant, but she didn't do abortion. And she was pursuing her dream, and then God really blessed her a lot. She repented, and she became really pure. So it's a story about change, and this is also my story. I mean, this story is not mine, but this is also my story, you know, being more mature, changing all the time. So actually, I have grown up a lot when I was writing my novels, and also the other five novels. All of the girls in the books, they are changing. They become pure. They become whole again. And this is also my spiritual life.
I think that's wonderful, and I wish you so much success with your book, Crush Under the Starry Night. And so, Sui Lin Gan, it was
you.
A pleasure talking to you. And how can the audience purchase your book, and do you have a website?
Oh, yes, I have a website. My website is www.roseling.com. Rose is for the flower, and we have a same name, Rose. Yeah, and also Celine is my and Celine is my English name, because Celine sounds very similar to Celine. That's why I call myself Celine, and Celine is the same spelling with Celine Dion. And also, when you type Roseling or Sui Lin Gan or Crush Under the Starry Night, you can see the book on Amazon and on my website. Actually, I have put lots of my paintings on my website.
Oh,
I've done lots of paintings with cross, yeah, recently. So I really hope people can see the paintings, and I hope they can feel the love, healing from God. Because when I was doing my painting, I was so happy.
Oh,
so I
that's
want to
wonderful.
Share this with everybody.
Well, I hope everyone goes
yeah,
to your
you.
Website and goes to Amazon.com to get your book. And God bless you. And you keep up the good work, Sui Lin Gan, G-A-N.
Thank
you so
you.
Much.
Thank
God bless you.
You.
All righty.
God bless you, too. Thank you, Rose.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And and Sui Lin Gan with Crush Under the Starry Night has left the building. And we have a few minutes now to go into our next section, which is the world of politics. And I just want to update you a little bit on the legal immigration versus illegal immigration. So hold on, and we'll be right back with Colombo Chronicles.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Yes, be sure to bring your appetite to Benson, Arizona. If you're in Tucson, Sierra Vista, any of the surrounding areas, going up to Tombstone, wherever, that's the place to stop, the landmark restaurant where you can get a piece of homemade apple pie and homemade cooking. And going into the world of politics, I just wanted to touch on these last few minutes with legal immigration versus illegal immigration and remind you that under the Obama-Biden administration, the ACLU sued Obama administration for detaining the asylum seekers. And that was a nationwide class action lawsuit challenging Obama and Biden's administration policy of locking up asylum-seeking mothers and children to intimidate others from coming to the United States. And yet the Democrats have turned around and blamed Trump for doing this very same thing, when the Biden and Obama administration have been doing that since 2009. The case was brought on behalf of mothers and children who have fled extreme violence, death threats, rape, and persecution in Central America, came to the United States for safety. And each has been found by an immigration officer or judge to have a credible fear of persecution, meaning there's a significant possibility they will be granted asylum. It goes on to say that locking up families and depriving them of their liberty in order to scare others from seeking refuge in the USA is inhumane and illegal, said Judy Rabinowitz, Deputy Director of the ACLU Immigrants' Rights Project. And this was under the Obama-Biden administration. And so this didn't just happen overnight. This has been going on a very long time. In fact, the NPR reported on this as well. Obama immigrant detention policies were under fire. The Obama-Biden administration is under growing pressure to change its policies governing the detention of thousands of migrants who came to the United States illegally. The American Immigration Council and the American Civil Liberties Union announced a class action lawsuit challenging the conditions of detention border patrol facilities in Tucson, Arizona regions. Scores of detainees report being held in unsanitary and frigid cells while being denied adequate food, water, hygiene, medical attention, or access to legal counsel. The lawsuit alleged that the Border Patrol's facilities under the Obama-Biden administration violated constitutional due process guarantees. It seeks no monetary damages, but rather court order reforms, according to the ACLU attorney James Lysol. So there's a timeline, in fact, of illegal immigration and the detention centers going back to 1984, where Harold W. Ezell, then the director of Western Region of the Immigration and Naturalization Service, INS, under President Ronald Reagan, implemented a policy under which a detained immigrant child could only be released to a parent or legal guardian. And there was more in 1985, the Center for Human Rights and Constitutional Law filed a class action lawsuit about human rights violations involving immigration. 1987, another one. 1988, 1993, and 1997. In 2002, unaccompanied alien children, UAC, is a term defined by the 2002 Homeland Security Act, an act that established the United States Department of Homeland Security that was introduced following the September 11th attacks. During the presidency of George W. Bush, United States Department of Health and Human Services defines UAC as illegal immigrants who are under 18 years old, have no legal guardians in the United States. And then it went on to 2003 with the Office of Refugee Resettlement within the United States Department of Health and Human Services began to operate the Unaccompanied Alien Children Program. From 2003 to 2011, the ORR housed fewer than 8,000 children annually. That's a lot different than today. And that difference began under the Obama-Biden administration in 2009. In 2007, the Global Detention Project reported that there were 363 detention sites in use in the United States during the period between 2007 and 2009. In 2008, President George Bush signed the William Wilberforce Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act of 2008, which provided substantial new protections to UAC by prohibiting them from being quickly sent back to their country of origin. So he wanted them to stay here longer. In 2011, beginning in October 2011, the U.S. government recorded a dramatic rise, commonly referred to in the United States as the surge, in the number of unaccompanied and separated children arriving to the United States from El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. This was under the Obama-Biden administration. The total number of apprehensions of unaccompanied and separated children from these countries by U.S. Customs and Border Protection jumped from 4,059 in 2011 to 10,443 in 2012, and more than doubled again to 21,537 in 2013. This was all under the Obama-Biden administration, had nothing to do with President Trump. And by 2014, during the 2014 American immigration crisis, most children came from the Northern Triangle of Central America, Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, Rio Grande. Once in the U.S., they turned themselves into the United States Border Patrol. According to July 9, 2014 article in the New York Times, President Obama and Vice President Biden said William Wilberforce Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act of 2008 was partly responsible for tying the hands of Obama and the Biden administration in dealing with the influx of children. Since 2013, the number of minors who had been caught at the southwest border had risen to approximately 52,000, according to the 2014 Times article. Republicans said that the Obama-Biden administration, DACA, had caused the influx of unaccompanied migrant children. In response to the 2014 immigration crisis, while Obama was president and Biden was vice president, a surge of Central Americans arrived in the U.S.-Mexico border, ICE adopted a blanket policy to detain all female-headed families, including children, in secure unlicensed facilities for the duration of the proceedings that determine whether they are entitled to remain in the United States of America. And it goes on. So this all began long before President Trump ever became President of the United States. And under the Biden-Obama administration, or Obama-Biden administration, between 2009 and 2016, it was alleged by a South Carolina law firm that about 10,000 missing illegal minor children were not found and maybe still missing. And recently, there are children missing. And in, I believe it was 2015, they reported 1,500 children missing. So this is so unsafe for the children coming to the United States through Mexico and for the females, because along with them, they're brought by coyotes. Their coyotes pay the parents. They have fake parents. They have no identification. They could have measles. They could have COVID. They could be bringing diseases into the USA. And as stated and documented, thousands of children go missing. No one ever follows up on them. No one knows what happens to them. And so this began long ago, and Bush got involved, and then Obama and Biden allowed the caravans to come into our country by the millions. And today we have about 30 million illegals, and we have 2 million more coming under the Biden Democrat administration coming towards our borders. My point is, if they're coming through Mexico, then Mexico is responsible for the caravans, for all the illegals, because according to the law that I read, the point of entry into a foreign nation by refugees, asylum seekers, and illegals is Mexico. Mexico is responsible for them, not the United States of America. And that's what President Trump was trying to enforce. You either stop it at your borders because you're responsible for the illegals flooding our nations, or we're going to stop it by building a wall. And now the Obama-Biden administration, with all the Democrats and the rhinos, are once again allowing millions of, inviting millions of third world foreigners to enter into our nation during a pandemic, while they're telling us to wear a mask and attempting to mandate trial experimental vaccinations, and they are exempting the illegals from wearing masks or being tested before they enter for not only COVID, but other diseases like measles, contagious diseases. And they're going to put them on our welfare rolls. Well, millions of Americans have been out of work since 2019, and tens of thousands of businesses have been shut down. If this isn't Luciferian and part of the New World Order and the United Nations Agenda 21, 30, and 50 to reduce the population of the planet and destroy America's economic system, the middle class, and small businesses in America, and jobs, then what is it? I leave that question to you. What is it? What is this tyrannical, dictatorial, authoritarian, democratic NWO agendas all about if they aren't into destroying the middle class, the strong economic system that President Trump built, and closing down tens of thousands of jobs across America by attacking the oil industry, the coal industry, the fracking industry, fossil fuel industry, and so forth. You think about it. God bless you. God bless America. Talk to you next Wednesday.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.